translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. It was so observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy, and he was trying to wipe away tears of separation from his eyes. Thus, Vidura could understand that Uddhava had completely assimilated extensive love for the Lord. The symptoms of the highest order of devotional life were observed by Vidura, an experienced devotee of the Lord, and he confirmed Uddhava's perfectional stage of love of Godhead. Ecstatic bodily changes are manifested from spiritual plane and are not artificial expressions developed by practice. There are three different stages of development in devotional service. The first stage is that of following the regulative principles prescribed in the codes of devotional service. The second stage is that of assimilation and realization of the steady condition of devotional service. And the last stage is that of ecstasy symptomized by transcendental bodily expressions. The nine different modes of devotional service, such as hearing, chanting, and remembering, are the beginning of the process. By regular hearing of the glories of the pastime of the Lord, the impurities in the student's heart begin to be washed off. The more one is cleansed of pure impurities, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. Gradually, the activities take the form or forms of steadiness, firm faith, taste, realization, and assimilation one after another. These different stages of gradual development increase love of God to the highest stage. And in the higher stage, there are still more symptoms, such as an affection, anger, and attachment, gradually rising in exceptional cases to the Mahabhav stage, which is generally not possible for living entities. All these were manifested by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personification of love of God. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami, the chief disciple of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these transcendental symptoms displayed by pure devotees like Uddhava are systematically described. We have written a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu entitled The Nectar of Devotion, and one may consult this book for more detailed information on the science of devotional service. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobeshtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Dinamini. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In the interest of time, I've just shortened the Mangalacharan. It's already 8:10. We've got to finish by 8:30. So before I begin, my humble obeisances to all the assembled devotees and also devotees online. Please bless me so that I can speak something meaningful on today's verse, and in the process purify my speech and my heart. So just quickly repeating the translation. It was so observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy, and he was trying to wipe away tears of separation from his eyes. Thus, Vidura could understand that Uddhava had completely assimilated extensive love of God. So first, let's look at context, where we are in the Bhagavatam. We are in the second chapter of the third canto. Towards the end of the first chapter, Uddhava and Vidura meet. Vidura meets Uddhava on the banks of Yamuna. And Vidura is asking Uddhava all about the Yadus and the Kurus. And the last verse, verse 45, Vidura is saying to Uddhava, please go glorify Krishna. Vartam sake kirtaya tirtha kirte. Chant the glories of the Lord who is meant to be glorified in the places of pilgrimage. Because don't forget, Vidura has been on a pilgrimage. He's been to so many different pilgrimage sites, and he's bathed in all the ghats there. Now he wants to bathe in Krishna Katha. So he's asking Uddhava to speak about Krishna. So this particular chapter 2 begins by explaining that as soon as Vidura asked Uddhava to speak about Krishna, just the thoughts of having to speak about Krishna, remembering Krishna. Of course, Uddhava never forgets Krishna. He's always remembering Krishna. But that particular moment, he actually got stunned. He basically couldn't speak. He says he could not reply. He was in devotional ecstasy. It's explained that Uddhava has been a devotee of Krishna from the childhood. In his childhood, he used to play with the dolls of Krishna. And he used to be so absorbed in it that at lunchtime or dinner time, when his mother used to call him, he didn't pay attention. He wasn't interested in food. He was so absorbed in the worship. And in the last previous verse, text 4, it's explained that it says here, in that verse he says, Muratam abhut tushunim. That means murata. So Prabhupada translates murata as the moment in that verse. That's one moment. But actually murata, we know 48 minutes. So you can imagine that Uddhava actually was asked the question, and for 48 minutes he just stood there in silence, just in ecstasy. So now in this verse, Vidura is now observing the exact symptoms. Pulaka udbina sarva anga. So pulaka, bodily changes. Sarva anga, pulaka. Pulaka means is in the Shikshashtakam, we have the verse where it says, what's that? Pulaka. How does it go? Nayanam galad ashudharaya. Is it that one? Pulaka nichitam. Yeah, so this same word, pulaka here. So it's hair standing on end. The bodily changes. So these bodily changes are described here. And of course, Uddhava, Vidura, is also a devotee of the Lord, so he can recognize these symptoms. In the purport, Prabhupada says, the symptoms of the highest order of devotional life were observed by Vidura, an experienced devotee of the Lord, and he confirmed Uddhava's perfection stage of love of Godhead. So a devotee or a learned person can recognize the exact symptoms. So in the case of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Mahaprabhu first reaches Jagannath Puri and he enters the temple, as soon as he gets a darshan of their lordship, what happens? He faints. Complete ecstasy. He's lying there. In fact, there seems to be no sign of life, it is explained. So at that time, some of the guards at Puri, we all know all these guards with a stick. So they obviously didn't understand what was going on, and they actually thought this sannyasi has either fainted or is just too tired or exhausted or whatever, and they were preparing to carry him out of the temple room. But who arrives at the time? Anybody know who arrives? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he arrived, and although he was not a devotee at this stage, was he? He was a gyani. He was like a topmost gyani. Because of his gyan, he knew about these exact symptoms. So he realized that something else is going on here. So it's explained that he then knelt down and he took a... Because there's no sign of any movement. When you breathe, your stomach moves up and down. But there was no sign at all. But he took a little cotton swab, held it near the nose, and he could see that it was still there. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nand ki jai. Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shri Kotitai ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Damodar Yashoda Damodar Shri ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. So there you see that he actually recognized. So it took a great devotee to recognize the symptoms. So there's another example in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about someone not recognizing these systems. Can anybody think of a pastime where a symptom, exact symptom, was not recognized? Yes, perfect. Srila Thakur. So one time there was a devotee called Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was a professional reciter. So he would recite the Bhagavatam very nicely. So see, we also hear many times some of the reciters coming over from India. They are very eloquent. They speak so nicely. They have a pandal full of 4,000 or 5,000 people. And everybody is really listening in rapt attention. But these professional reciters may sound very, very interesting to hear, but there is no bhakti coming through. So this is the situation with Devananda Pandit. But he, at one time, Srivas Pandit happened to be in the audience. And just by hearing, although it was being spoken by a professional reciter, just his own bhav was such that he started feeling exciting symptoms. So he was crying and he was rolling on the floor and everything. So what happens? The devotees, the disciples of this Devananda Pandit, they think this is a disturbance. This person is causing a ruckus here. They picked him up and threw him out. So Devananda Pandit, just because silently he observed this misbehavior, because he should have known, but of course he didn't. He wasn't a devotee. He didn't recognize the symptoms. So just by this offense of blaspheming a pure devotee, by not taking any action, not stopping his followers, he actually got, like he suffered in terms of Mahaprabhu said that you will never ever become a devotee. But actually we know later on he does some service to Rakeshwar Pandit. When he was dancing next to Sri, then he actually stopped the people coming near him and stopped him from harm. And then by that time, because of his service to a pure devotee, Mahaprabhu pardoned him and blessed him with bhakti. So that was an example of not recognizing ecstatic symptoms. So I was thinking this morning when I was chanting in the association of such wonderful devotees, my hair was standing on end. I was shivering. But I realized I was just cold. There was nothing ecstatic going on there. So anyway, these symptoms are there. They say that sometimes these symptoms are copied. Somebody just is pretending. That's one. There's genuine symptoms, as we know from Uddhava here. But sometimes there is also people pretending. And sometimes it is said that there's also... In the Necro Devotion, it says Patibim and Chaya. So if in association of pure devotees, you may sometimes get a jalak of that. You may sometimes actually start feeling some of the symptoms. They're not actual real manifested symptoms, but there is a little a glimpse of it that you get by the association of your pure devotee, like a jalak. So, Prabhupada explains later on in the purport, he says, ecstatic bodily changes are manifested from the spiritual plane and are not artificial expressions developed by practice. So artificial expressions, this also reminds me of I'm not sure nowadays it goes on or what, but in India, it used to be a case when somebody passed away in a family, there would be these professional mourners. Anybody heard about that? These professional mourners would come, right? They'd be all sort of ladies, they'd be dressed in black, and they would cry, they would be really, as if they're really suffering the separation from this person. They don't even know this person. They just hear that somebody's died, they run. It is their profession, actually, just come and cry at somebody's home. It serves the purpose, I suppose, because sometimes, you know, when somebody's passed away, the immediate family members, they find it difficult to express their emotions. And sometimes you're bottling up your emotions and that's no good. It is said that, okay, if you feel sad at that time, you should cry, you know, let it out. So what these professional criers, mourners, what they do is that by them crying, it makes you cry. And your heart is sort of lightened. So yeah, it's a purpose. But yeah, there you go. They have these symptoms by practice, professional. In the Bhagavad Gita first chapter, we hear about symptoms that Arjuna experienced, right? In the text 28, chapter 1, he says, Arjuna says, my dear Krishna, Seeing my friends and relatives present before me in such a fighting spirit, I feel the limbs of my body quivering. My mouth is drying up. Next verse it says, my whole body is trembling. My hair is standing on end. My bow, Gandiva, is slipping from my hand and my skin is burning. So this is symptoms Arjuna is showing. So here's the question. Are these material or spiritual symptoms? What is Arjuna displaying? Spiritual? Who says spiritual? Material. Okay, here's material. Material. Somebody says spiritual. Who says spiritual? Okay, good, yeah. So material, because Arjuna actually was in the material world and he was playing a part of a soldier, a member of the Yadu family, of the Pandava family. So in that sense, it's material. But I also agree, it is spiritual because he's with Krishna. When you're with Krishna, where's the chance of material? You are in spiritual. Arjuna actually is a Nitya Siddha, a devotee of Krishna. So everything is spiritual. It's a pastime that is enacting for Krishna. So in that sense, it can be also spiritual. I thought that was interesting. Prabhupada then continues, there are three stages of development of devotion service. We know about these stages, Vaidhi, Sadhana, Bhakti. Second stage, actually, interesting. But Prabhupada breaks it down this way, because we in the nectar of devotion, we hear as Sadhana, Bhakti, Bhava, Bhakti, Prema, Bhakti. Here, this is slightly different here. It says, first stage is following the regular principles, which is Vaidhi, Sadhana, Bhakti. Then second stage is that assimilation and realization of the steady condition of devotional service. That I see as nishtha level. Then the last stage is of ecstatic symptoms symptomized by transcendental bodily expression. That is bhava. So in these three stages, the way I see it, he hasn't got to prema yet. He's just explaining about vaidhi bhakti, nishtha stage, and then bhava stage. So these are the three stages he's explaining. Prabhupada says, by regular hearing of the glories and pastimes of the Lord, the impurities in the student's heart begin to be washed off. Two beautiful verses in the second chapter of the first canto speaking about this. Anybody know the verses? Yes. Shrimatam Swakatha Krishna Punya Savana Kirtana Hridayantastho Abhaya Pradrani Vidunoti Suvisatam. In Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everybody's heart and is the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses the desire of material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtues when properly heard and chanted. And another verse which speaks about cleansing the heart. We sing it before the class every day. Nashtapayashu Badreshu. So by regular Nashtapayashu Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhakti Bhavati Nashtiki. By regular attendance in classes of Bhagavatam and by rendering the service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service to the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Naishtiki, irrevocable. Then Prabhupada says, the more one is cleansed of impurities, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. So what happens when we are fixed in devotional service? This is explained in the next verse, after 218 to 19. Tada rajas tamo bhava kama loba dayas chaye cheta ete anavrittam sthita svatve prasiddhati. Thank you, Prabhu. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. That's the stage that we all aspire into. Continuing on the purport, Śrīla Prabhupāda says, in the highest stage, there are still more symptoms, such as affection, anger, and attachment, gradually rising in exceptional cases to the Mahabhava stage, which is generally not possible for the living entities. All these were manifested by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personification of Lord Godhead. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 272, the different transformations of the bodily changes in, for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explained. It says that Stamba Kampa Prasveda, Vaivamya Ashru, Sarva Bheda, Deha Hailab Pulaka Vyapita, Hase Kande Nache Gaya, Uti Iti Udi Dhaya, Shane Bhume Padiye Murchita. So there were different symptoms of transformations of the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being stunned, trembling, perspiring, fading away of color, weeping, choking of the voice. In this way, his whole body was pervaded by transcendental joy. As a result, sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would laugh, sometimes cry, sometimes dance, and sometimes sing. Sometimes he would get up and run here and there, and sometimes fall on the ground and lose consciousness. So in the purport, says in the purport, in the Bhakti Prasamrita Sutta, there are eight kinds of, no, this is not in that purport, in this particular purport here. There are eight kinds of transcendental changes taking place in the body of advanced devotees, and these are called Ashtasattvika Vikara. So these symptoms that Mahaprabhu was exhibiting, they are described again in the Madhya Lila chapter 13, verses 101 to 109. And these are very, very vivid descriptions. So let's read them out. Just these beautiful descriptions. So here, 101 says, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced and jumped high, eight wonderful transformations indicative of divine ecstasy was seen in his body. Text 102 says, his skin erupted with goose pimples and the hairs of his body stood on end. His body resembled the simuli, which is a silk cotton tree, all covered with thorns. Next verse. Indeed, the people became afraid just to see his teeth clatter, and they even thought that his teeth would fall out. 104. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's whole body flowed with perspiration, and at the same time oozed blood. He made the sounds jaja gaga in a voice choked with ecstasy. 105. Tears came forcefully from the eyes of the Lord, as if from a syringe, and all the people surrounding him became wet. 106. Everyone saw the complexion of his body change from white to pink, so that his luster resembled that of the Mallika flower. Next verse. Sometimes he appeared stunned, and sometimes he rolled on the ground. Indeed, sometimes his legs and hands became as hard as dry wood, and he could not move. When the Lord fell to the ground, sometimes his breathing almost stopped. When the devotees saw this, their lives also became very feeble. Water flowed from his eyes and sometimes through his nostrils, and foam fell from his mouth. These flowings appeared to be torrents of nectar descending from the moon. So these are amazing descriptions, and Prabhupada explains in the purport that these symptoms are not possible for a mortal soul. These symptoms are, of course, are a very, very high level of ecstasy, very, very, very advanced stage of devotional service. So Vidura, being a devotee of the Lord, could recognize this symptoms Vidura was experiencing in the high advanced stage. From the next verse on, Uddhava will begin to speak. So these are words coming from a very, very pure devotee and a very advanced stage. So they're very important for us to hear. The next verses is 8:30. So I will stop here. Now we invite any questions, any comments, any realizations, any corrections, please. Yes, Prabhu.
Prabhu, these are symptoms of bhava, the 8 symptoms. Someone can be imitating them, someone, it could be because of some material reason. How do we identify if someone is going through these symptoms, whether they're actually in bhava or there's something else going on?
Sure, very good question actually. Actually, it's very difficult. Frankly, it's very difficult. For normal people, for us normal people, it would be not so easy. It would be quite wrong to classify every symptom that somebody is expressing. I've seen people come here and start crying, right? Now, that could be because they're going through some personal issues and they're literally crying their eyes out because of their issues. Or that could be a static symptom they're feeling just by coming in front of the Lord. But we don't know. I think the main thing is that we, first of all, should not judge. It could be genuine, maybe it's not genuine. But one time, somebody asked Srila Prabhupada once this question. And he said, Prabhupada, when somebody falls down and faints in front of the deities, how do we know that is faking or is it a genuine ecstatic symptom? Does anybody know what Prabhupada said? Yes. So Prabhupada, that would be his answer, right? Now, of course, we can't do that. But Prabhupada says, if somebody is falling down like that, go and kick him. Kick him hard. Because if he reacts and starts shouting at you, you know that he was faking. Because if he was genuinely in ecstatic symptoms, he would not be in the bodily consciousness. He would not feel that kick, no matter how hard. Right? So, of course, don't kick anybody, but I suppose difficult to know. Yeah, I would say, yeah, difficult to know. If we know that devotee, then we can try and judge. We know that he's a very, very good devotee, and maybe he's genuinely feeling it. If somebody brand new comes and starts feeling it, then we can maybe just sort of give him the benefit of the doubt and not disturb him. That's my feeling. I hope that answers the question. Thank you, Prabhu. Behind there, the mic, please. Shakti Gopal Prabhu. Take the mic, otherwise the people online will not hear. My goodness, there you go. Yeah. Yes, yes. No. Absolutely. As I said, Prabhupada would say that, but of course we cannot do that literally. Yeah. But yeah, thank you for sharing that. But I'm not sure, is anybody? Maybe the volume is turned up from there. It's coming up. I think I can. It's coming through, but it's not loud enough.
Oh, right. Okay.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
So anyway, you heard it, didn't you? You heard what I said.
Yes, I heard. I heard. But, yeah. But for the sake of people online, maybe you can quickly repeat. It's
okay.
Interesting
well,
what you said.
One time, a devotee in Brindavan, Krishna Balaram Temple, he carried out Prabhupada's guidelines with that, and he either kicked or slapped someone who was appeared to be showing some. Well, he was on the floor and crying or howling or something, and as we said, that the crowd in the temple, that they almost lynched him.
Yes,
he had to resign from his position.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
We can't go around kicking people.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm just citing Prabhupada's answer, but that we can't do practically.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. In other words, if the person is in deep ecstasy, he won't be affected.
Yes.
But if you kick someone who's in ecstasy, you created a mountain of apparat.
Huge.
Not enough. Just an offense. Yes. You're kicking someone. You're going to.
That's another point. Absolutely. Very nice point, Sakshi Gopal Prabhu. Yes, because you take a chance and kick somebody thinking that he's faking it. And if he's genuine, then look at the apparat that you committed. You know, you're never going to live it down. Thank you, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu, over in the front here. The microphone, please.
Thank you for a wonderful class.
Thank you, Prabhu.
In modern or contemporary times, why do pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada typically abstain from displaying symptoms that we can surmise that they've experienced in public forums.
Yes.
I presume it's not just Prabhupada, but his guru and others in the lineage. It seems, this is perhaps a touch of speculation, that they reserve their ecstasies for private contexts and... that's
absolutely right. Yes, you've answered the question yourself. Actually, in our Paramparadai, Gaudiya Sampradaya, we don't see this. You can see in other sampradayas, you have sometimes people do display this, right or wrong, it's up to them. But in our sampradaya, we do not see it. And the reason, you quite rightly say, is because the devotees are humble. If a devotee starts, if I sit here and start, crying and doing, then I'm showing that I am really advanced. But a devotee doesn't want to do that. A devotee, the more advanced a devotee is, the more humble he is, and he doesn't want to show his seniority or his advancement. So he is going to suppress these symptoms. So from all I've read, there's one time that Srila Prabhupada seemingly displayed it. Momentarily, in the middle of the class, he went silent, right? And he didn't speak, so the devotees didn't know what to do at the time, and they just started chanting. And Prabhupada stayed silent for a little while, and then when he again came back to his bodily consciousness, he joined the kirtan. So yes, there was only one time that Prabhupada, obviously not more meaning to display it, but he just... fell in that situation. But otherwise, no, we don't hear it. Yeah, thank you. Sakshi Gopal Prabhu again. Sorry, if you want to say something else, Prabhu, yeah.
Follow-up question then. Are we meant, is it, actually not say this.
Okay, thank you. So Sakshi Gopal Prabhu again, please.
Actually, on more than one occasion, Prabhupada was overwhelmed. He doesn't display it. Okay. He's overwhelmed. He can't help himself. But one reason why devotees suppress those symptoms, as you say, it's a very intimate, personal exchange with Krishna.
Yes.
And Krishna bestows it. Krishna drops it. And there's nothing you can do. The Prabhupada would suppress it. One reason is it interferes with service.
Yes.
There was a devotee who was offering chamara to Krishna. And he was cursing the ecstasy because it was interfering with his service of offering the chamara to Krishna.
Right, yes.
Imagine. You're cursing the ecstasy because it's stopping your service. The service is the paramount, important aspect because it's called devotional service. And a side effect is devotional ecstasy. That's a side effect.
Yes.
It's not the goal.
Good point.
And there's several reasons. One of those is that because there are so many... there are those Sahaja sects who make a big show of many times artificial. Sometimes perhaps it's there, but they want to enjoy the ecstasy, and the devotee wants Krishna to enjoy. Exactly. And ecstasy is ecstatic.
Yes.
So I'm told.
Yes.
But the devotee is not trying to enjoy; he wants to serve. And as a warning, Prabhupada would, if the guru is sitting on his Vyasasan or showing all these symptoms of ecstasy, there will be much imitation from the disciple.
Ah, yes.
They'll start to imitate.
Yes.
And as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati once said, when our men become Sahaja, he's talking about the Lord Chaitanya's mission, not just Gaudiya Math, not just this, but when our men become Sahaja, they will become very dangerous. How? Because it becomes imitation.
Hmm.
And then everything becomes imitation and cheap.
Yeah.
And people do all sorts of nonsense in the name of devotional service.
Thank you so much. Once again, so many wonderful points, Sakshi Gopal Prabhu. Thank you so much. Prabhu, you had something to say? Yeah.
It was just a note on the pastime that you mentioned about Prabhupada going to a meditation. After, like, the devotees, because they were unsure whether to go do a kirtan or not, whilst Prabhupada was in this meditation, they were having a discussion, and then they asked Prabhupada, what should we do? You went into this meditation, and Prabhupada was like, I don't go into that often, do I? I don't go into that often. And so it was kind of like an embarrassment, or like... So there was a sense of humility from Prabhupada that
yes.
He was kind of, he didn't want to show it off so much.
That's right. He brushed it off, basically. He brushed it off. He didn't want to make a big thing off it. So that's the main thing. Thank you so much. Any other points? Anybody? Yeah, thank you. Oh, yeah. Prabhupada Prabhu. I think it's on, Prabhu.
It's on, is it? Okay. There was the time, Prabhupada is mentioned in his books. It says, I think it's in Bhagavad Gita, he says, by whatever means people come to me if they're crying for personal reasons, their family's hurting or having troubles or whatever, or they want to pass their examinations. He says, by whatever means they come to me, I accept this. It doesn't matter. It's a step in the right direction because they're coming to me as God.
Yes.
They're approaching him in that light. You know, so whatever.
Thank you so much, Virgin Prabhu. Thank you so much. Yes, Mataji over there, please. Thank you.
I just would like to add that probably it's easier, it's safer if somebody faints than we just call the ambulance. And then it's safer for everybody. Nobody commits offenses.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mother is saying that the safest thing is somebody is fainting in the temple room, just call the ambulance. One time, was it Gopal Prabhu or one of them from Chopati was here? They were saying that one time in the temple room, people were coming and they're being abhorrences, and this particular person came and he went flat in front of Prabhupada, deity, and he just didn't get up. So then people thought, what's going on here after a while? And then they went and they shook him. And he actually fallen asleep. So, Mangala Arati time, right? So these things happen, yeah. But yeah, of course, if somebody falls down. First thing is, yeah, like you say, certainly don't kick anybody. But everything, whatever action we take, with caution, because it could be genuine, and you don't want to take a chance.
Sprinkle the water.
Sprinkle the water, yeah. But best thing will be to just leave him alone. Maybe, you know, things will sort themselves by themselves. Kranti Rashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.